I'd love to think you got that maturity from me, but I think you came by it all on your own.
Maturity? Leo nearly laughed. Hanging out at home for 4 weeks without talking to either of her parents didn't seem very mature to her.
I think I inherited a few things from you and Dad, too.
Not all of them good, but she'd need to work on that. They sat in silence for a while, softly rocking back and forth on the porch swing.
"There's one more thing I need to ask of you," her mother said. "It would have meant so much to your father."
Instantly, Leo tensed. Her mother looked at her through watery eyes.
"Would you give the eulogy?"
That was the last thing Leo had expected. Her stomach rose up in her throat.
"Me?"
Her mother nodded.
"Why me?" "You are his daughter."
It was similar to what Holly had said to her last night, up on the roof, as if that simple statement said it all. But it wasn't that easy for her.
"I wouldn't know what to say."
Her mother patted her hand.
"It'll come to you. You write such beautiful lyrics. I know you'll come up with something that's just right."
"She knows my songs. And she thinks they're beautiful." Leo gaped at her before remembering what they were talking about. Her mother might like some of her songs, but she didn't know the whole truth. That she hadn't written anything, and certainly not anything beautiful, in years. She opened her mouth to say so, then closed it again. This wasn't the time to burden her mother with her career problems.
"Please,"
her mother said.
"I think this is important. Not just for your father, but for you, too. It'll give you a chance to reflect on his life and maybe get some closure."
Acid roiled in her stomach.
"I'll think about it."
That was all she could promise for now, and her mother luckily didn't press for more. Holly's red Jeep swung into the driveway. Leo's stomach stopped its theatrics and settled down, at least for the few seconds before Holly climbed out from behind the wheel, and then butterflies started to swarm. Their gazes met across the driveway. Leo wanted to run toward her and throw herself into Holly's arms as if they had been through a decade-long exile instead of being apart for less than 2 hours.
"Ridiculous,"
she told herself. It was probably just one of the stages of grief that heightened her emotions. But whatever it was, she was damn glad to see her. As Holly crossed the driveway toward the house, she immediately zeroed in on Leo. She looked emotionally drained, but her eyes were dry. Was that a good or a bad thing? At the base of the 3 steps leading up to the house, Holly paused and looked up at mother and daughter, not wanting to interrupt if they were having a moment, finally talking. Before she could say anything, Sharon gave her a shaky smile.
"Hi, Holly. Thank you for going with Leontine to the funeral home, eh?"
She dabbed her eyes.
"I couldn't."
Holly climbed the 3 steps and gave her a smile.
"You're welcome. If you need anything, my family and I are always just a phone call away."
Sharon nodded and got up.
"Thank you. I'll go make dinner."
"You don't need to do that,"
Leo said.
"The entire town brought over enough food to last us the rest of the year, and if you're in the mood for something else, I can make it."
Sharon patted her shoulder and moved past her.
"I know, but it'll give me something to do."
Instead of walking past Holly, she engulfed her in a hug.
"I'm so glad you're there for Leontine," she whispered.
Before Holly could think of an answer, the screen door closed behind her, leaving Holly and Leo alone.
"What was that about?"
Leo tilted her head and nodded to where her mother had disappeared.
"She was just thanking me."
When Leo patted the now empty space next to her, she took a seat. The porch swing was large enough for 3, yet they both scooted toward the middle, and sat with their bodies touching from their shoulders to their bare knees. Feeling Leo against her like this was incredibly nice. It could become an addiction if she let it.
"How are you?"
she asked quietly. For a moment, Leo looked as if she would put her off with an "I'm okay." But then she said instead,
"My mother wants me to give the eulogy."
Wow. Getting up there in front of half the town when everything inside her was still so raw. Holly hadn't been able to do that at her father's funeral. She had left it to her brother Zach.
"If you don't want to do it, I could help you find someone else."
Leo shifted even closer and used her feet to set the porch swing in motion, as if she needed a few moments to think about it.
"Thanks. But I think I'll do it. My dad and I, we missed so many moments we could have had together. I don't want to look back and have even more regrets about something I didn't do just because I was afraid to put myself out there."
Holly swallowed. She knew Leo was talking about her relationship with her father, but the words fit her and Leo too. Holly certainly had a lot of regrets, especially about hurting Leo.
"That's very brave."
Leo turned her head and looked at her, those olive-green eyes turbulent and intense. Was she thinking about the same thing?
"I'm sorry I wasn't as brave,"
Holly said quietly.
"I wanted to believe in you, in us, and a part of me really does. It's just..."
She fell silent, unsure if this was really the time and place to bring it up. Leo had enough on her plate right now.
"I know I should focus on the funeral right now, but I feel like everything is slipping through my fingers if I don't hold on to it."
Leo stopped and cleared her throat.
"I think we will regret it too if we don't give us a try. I don't want to pressure you into anything you don't want, and if you honestly think we're better off as friends, I'll have to accept that, but I'd really like to try, because I think you're wonderful, and everything I want in a woman."
Her words made Holly's heart sing, but at the same time she couldn't quite trust them yet.
"Except for being asexual,"
she murmured and stared off into space. Leo gently touched her fingers to her cheek and directed Holly's head around to look at her.
"No," she said forcefully. "That's not what I said, or what I thought. You're great just the way you are."
"I know you believe that, at least for now."
Holly struggled to keep her voice from trembling.
"But you're a passionate woman, Leo. I hear it in your music and see it in everything you do. At some point you'll want more. You'll want that passion with me, and I can't give it. And then you'll start to resent me, and that would break my heart."
She pressed her hand to her chest because she could already sense that pain, and now she had made herself even more vulnerable by speaking so openly.
"I'm not saying it will always be easy, but why would I resent you for something that is a part of you?"
I don't know, but that's the way it's always been."
All the bitterness and the hurt that had accumulated deep inside of her over the years chose that moment to rise up.
"If I don't put out..."
"Put out? Jesus, Holly!"
Leo took both of her hands and clutched them almost painfully tight.
"Listen to me. I'll say this only once, and if you still think it's not worth taking the risk, I'll leave you be. Relationships are hard, not just for asexual people. I've never been able to make any of mine work. Want to know why?"
Her throat was choked with emotion, so Holly only nodded, clinging to Leo's every word and to her hands.
"Once I became famous, women started flocking to me like moths to a flame," Leo said. "They didn't hesitate to jump into bed with me or even to move into my condo."
A fierce stab went through Holly's chest. Great. Now she could add jealousy to the chaotic mix of emotions swirling through her. Leo stroked her hands as if she could sense it,
but not one of them could separate Leo from Jenna. They loved me for my fame, my money, my pop star sex appeal, but not for who I am deep inside. So, in a way, your sexual orientation is a good thing for me.
She paused as if contemplating what she had just said, then nodded in confirmation.
Your asexuality makes you see beyond all that surface stuff.
Hope trickled through her. Did Leo really see her asexuality that way? As something positive?
Well, I happen to think that most of us aces are pretty awesome, but there are a few superficial money-grubbing assholes among us too, you know.
She forced a smile, trying for a bit of levity because the emotions bouncing back and forth between them were almost too intense to stand.
Yeah, but not you,
Leo said with unshakable conviction.
You appreciate me for me, not for my body or my fame. You see me.
I do, Holly whispered.
Jesus. They had kissed exactly twice, and yet here they were, sounding as if they were proposing marriage. It was crazy, and it felt completely right.
I see you too, and I want to see more of you.
Leo gave a lopsided grin.
And that's not an allusion to wanting to see you naked.
She sobered.
But if that's not what you want...
Holly sucked in a lungful of air. This was it. Either she had to follow Meg's advice and put her heart on the line, or she had to let Leo go for good.
Come on, be brave. I want it. I want us.
A huge grin spread across Leo's face, making her even more beautiful. Holly was still afraid, mainly of not being enough for Leo, but that look on Leo's face made it worth the risk.
Oh God, Holly, thank you.
Leo lifted one of Holly's hands to her mouth and kissed her open palm while staring into her eyes.
Can I kiss you?
Holly loved the way Leo had not just assumed it would be okay because they had agreed to try a relationship. Again, her voice deserted her, so she leaned toward Leo and kissed her instead. Leo sighed against her lips. Her mouth was soft and warm and incredibly tender. Holly sank into the kiss and forgot everything else for a while. It had been so long since she'd last been able to do that, just enjoy a kiss, without a part of her keeping watch for the moment she had to break it off before her partner would want more. Leo's hands didn't start to wander. Instead, her fingers entwined with Holly's own, so Holly could fully relax into the kiss.
God, she could kiss Leo forever.
The creaking of the screen door made them move apart. Leo's mother leaned in the doorway and looked back and forth between them.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, it's okay.
Holly tried to pull her hand from Leo's grasp, but Leo wouldn't let go. Apparently, she didn't intend to hide their relationship from her mother.
Not that that's even possible, seeing as she just caught us kissing.
Holly stifled a giggle that wanted to bubble from her chest. Was it wrong to feel so happy so soon after Gil's death?
I forgot to ask if you'd like to have dinner with us.
Sharon directed her words at Holly.
Are you staying the night again?
Again. So Sharon knew that she hadn't gone home last night. She didn't seem upset about it. Did she assume Holly had slept in the guest room? Holly turned her head to direct a questioning gaze at Leo. Did she want her to stay? Leo gave her the same questioning look.
I'd like that,
Holly said, more to Leo than to Sharon. Judging by Leo's smile, that was the answer she had hoped for.
Good,
Sharon said.
I'm making tuna casserole, your favorite.
She ducked back inside, and the screen door banged shut behind her.
I think she likes you better than me,
Leo murmured. Nah. So what's your favorite dinner food?
Not sure I have one. I'm more of a dessert kind of woman.
Really? Leo nodded.
Yeah. For example, I could really go for another kiss right now.
Holly pretended to think about it. But if you get that kiss right now, before dinner, it isn't dessert, is it?
Then I declare kisses my favorite dinner and tuna casserole my favorite dessert.
Leo gave her a dazzling smile.
Does that work?
In the past, kissing and anything that might head into sexual territory had been a serious thing for her. Now she was surprised how much she enjoyed their playfulness. We'll make it work. She hoped that would be true for so much more than just their dessert. Then she stopped thinking and leaned toward Leo to enjoy her new favorite dinner. The floorboards in the upstairs hall creaked beneath Leo's feet as she shifted her weight and watched her mother and Holly tightly embrace in front of her mom's bedroom door. Was it just her, or was this a little weird? 14 years ago, her parents would have kicked any girlfriend she brought home out of the house, and Leo along with her. Hell, that was practically what they had done when they found out she was gay. Now her mother was clinging to Holly, acting as if she were a beloved daughter-in-law. Watching them together, watching Holly, made her smile. Holly was so sweet, warm, and genuine, and Leo couldn't help admiring her. At the same time, it made her a little jealous, because her own interaction with her mother didn't have that ease. There was too much history between them. Finally, her mother let go of Holly and walked up to Leo. Grief and loneliness were reflected in her eyes. She would have to climb into her cold, empty bed with only her memories to keep her company, while Leo would get to cuddle up to Holly all night. That was, if Holly was okay with doing that again. A wave of compassion overcame Leo, and it didn't feel so awkward to wrap her arms around her mother and hold her close. Her mother clung to her as if she never wanted to let go. Finally, she dropped her arms with an audible sigh.
Are you sure you don't want a sleeping pill?
Holly asked.
I'm sure. I don't want to rely on them too much.
Mom, I don't think another night or two will hurt any,
Leo said. Her mother shook her head.
Thanks, but I'll be fine. I'm exhausted, so I'll fall asleep eventually.
Leo gave up. Apparently, she hadn't inherited her stubbornness just from her father.
If you change your mind, come get me any time.
Holly pointed at the door to Leo's room. So they would share a bed again. It was almost a bit silly how relieved Leo felt at that thought.
I will.
Her mom kissed them both on the cheek and then went into her room. The door clicked shut behind her. They faced each other in the otherwise empty hall.
So,
they said at the same time, and then smiled at each other.
Want to have the bathroom first?
Leo asked.
Yes, thanks. I'll hurry. You must be pretty exhausted, too.
Kind of.
She was, but at the same time, she knew she was too wired to sleep. They took turns showering, and when Leo stepped out of the bathroom, Holly was already snuggled into bed.
God, I could get used to seeing that every night.
Her steps faltered.
Whoa, every night? Don't put the cart before the horse.
Holly lifted the edge of the covers up for her, and Leo slipped into bed beside her. Drawn in by Holly's warmth, she moved closer and wrapped one arm around her.
Is this okay?
Very.
Holly put one arm around her, too. Their bodies came together in the middle of the bed. Leo's face snuggled into the crook of Holly's shoulder and her leg across Holly's thighs. They both let out a hum and then a chuckle.
Does the asexual headquarters award you a toaster oven if you convert a certain quota of women into cuddle bugs?
Leo asked without lifting her head from its comfy space.
Because I've got to tell you, you're well on your way with me.
The warm body beneath hers shook as Holly laughed.
If they do, I'm nowhere near the quota. You are my first.
Converted cuddlebug, I mean. Now Leo lifted her head to stare at her.
Really?
Yeah. With my other partners, it was more them trying to convert me.
Holly's voice vibrated as if she was struggling to hold back a sigh. Leo slid up in bed a little, dipped her head down, and whispered against Holly's lips.
Fools. Goddamn fools.
She gave her a soft kiss. Holly slid her fingers into Leo's hair and returned the kiss. At first, it was just a brush of their lips against each other. A simple, almost chaste contact. Yet it felt as if Leo was finally coming home. Then Holly tentatively opened her mouth and touched her tongue to Leo's bottom lip.
Oh, Jesus.
Pleasure surged along Leo's nerves. She parted her own lips and eased her tongue forward to caress Holly's with gentle, almost careful strokes. After a moment, Holly melted against her. Leo angled her head so she could explore even more of her.
God, silken fire.
Heat twisted low in her belly. Holly's fingers against her scalp and the glide of her tongue against Leo's felt so incredible that she couldn't help moaning. Holly went still against her. Dazed, Leo broke the kiss and blinked down at her. Holly looked away.
Sorry, I...
Hey.
She caressed Holly's face with her fingertips until she made eye contact.
It was a kiss. A very nice one, but nothing more. Just because it didn't leave me, unaffected, doesn't mean I'm up for anything more. Even sexual people don't want to be sexual all the time. You can relax.
She smiled.
Really?
Holly brought her own hands up to Leo's face, too, and brushed strands of hair behind her ears, all the while looking into her eyes.
Okay,
she whispered, and pulled her back down for another kiss. Again, Holly was the one to deepen the kiss, and Leo kept pace with her, grateful that they weren't going too fast. This slow, unhurried exploration was exactly what she needed right now. When they pulled back several minutes later, Leo was breathless, not so much because of what they had shared physically, but because of the emotions it evoked. Her gaze clung to the blue of Holly's eyes, which were watching her as if she were hypnotized. She gently caressed Holly's cheek with the back of her fingers, then turned her hand around and cupped her cheek in her open palm.
Good night.
It wasn't that she was tired, but she wanted to signal Holly that she wasn't waiting for anything else to happen tonight. Holly leaned her face into Leo's touch. Her eyes fluttered shut before blinking open again. A slow smile tugged on her lips, as if she had received Leo's message.
Good night,
she whispered, sounding a little out of breath too. So she hadn't been entirely unaffected by their kiss either, even though it might not have been the same effect that she had experienced. The thought made Leo grin. She reached across Holly to flick off the lamp on the bedside table and then turned on her side. Immediately, Holly spooned up against her back and fit her body around Leo's. With a contented hum, Leo pulled Holly's arm more tightly around herself, flattened their palms against her upper chest with her hand covering Holly's, and closed her eyes. Even if she might not be able to sleep, she would be happy to spend the night like this. Holly woke with a start. Her eyes fluttered open. It was still pitch dark in the room, which meant dawn hadn't broken, and she could cuddle up to Leo and go back to sleep. Drowsily, she reached out, expecting to find warm skin, but encountered only cold sheets instead.
What the?
She sat up. Had Leo gotten up to use the bathroom?
Leo?
She called out quietly so as not to disturb Sharon, who slept next door. No answer came from the bathroom, and no band of light seeped in from under the door. A prickle of worry ran down her spine. She shook off the lingering effects of sleep and climbed out of bed to search for her missing bedmate. The dormer window was closed, so clearly Leo hadn't climbed out onto the roof. In her pajamas, she tiptoed downstairs, not bothering to turn on a light so she wouldn't wake Sharon. A glimmer of light falling into the hall from the kitchen guided her. She paused in the doorway to let her eyes adjust to the sudden brightness. Once they did, she could make out Leo sitting at the breakfast bar, a glass of milk and a notepad in front of her. Was she working on a new song? Holly watched her without announcing her presence, not wanting to interrupt in case Leo really was composing, or maybe she just enjoyed watching her while Leo felt unobserved. Leo sat with one of her long legs up, her bare foot half tucked beneath her on the seat. Her tank top revealed plenty of her smooth skin. She fiddled with a pen, every now and then reaching up with her other hand to tuck a strand of her honey blonde hair behind her ear.
So beautiful.
Holly loved how strength and vulnerability combined in her features and her body. Whatever Leo was working on, it wasn't going too well. Crumpled up pages surrounded her, and the top sheet of the notepad was empty except for a ring of condensation from the glass of milk. Before Holly could decide whether to announce herself or to let her be, Leo looked up, as if sensing her gaze. Her tense features relaxed into a smile.
Hey, I didn't mean to wake you.
You didn't, Holly said. I just couldn't sleep without you. I woke up and you weren't there. Are you okay?
Yeah, just couldn't sleep, so I thought I might as well get up and work on the eulogy.
Holly crossed the kitchen and climbed onto a stool next to her.
How's it going?
Leo sighed.
Not good. You're supposed to come up with something inspiring and uplifting, right?
Well, that's what Zach tried to do for my father's eulogy.
Everything I've written so far.
Leo indicated the ripped-out sheets of paper strewn around her.
Was about as uplifting as bankruptcy or flatulence. Completely lame. I might have written Grammy-winning song lyrics, but I can't write this.
She dropped her pen on the empty notepad. Holly slid her stool closer and reached up to massage Leo's shoulders. The muscles felt like rocks under her hands. Groaning, Leo leaned into the touch, and Holly would have bet money that her eyes were fluttering closed. After a while, the tension in her shoulders eased a little, and she turned around to face Holly.
Thank you.
She took Holly's hands and pressed a kiss to each one.
I know it's hard, Holly said quietly. Especially knowing you'll have to read it in front of the whole town.
Leo shook her head.
That's not it. I'm used to having an audience. I would gladly get up in front of 1,000 people if I had anything to say.
Holly looked from the long, slender fingers that still held hers up to Leo's eyes.
How did you do it when you wrote Odd One Out?
I don't know.
Leo shrugged.
I just did it. I just let everything I felt about my childhood pour out onto the paper.
Then maybe that's what you should do with the eulogy. Don't think about it too much, just speak from the heart. But not now. You need to get some sleep first.
She slid off the stool and pulled Leo up, too. Hand in hand, they climbed the stairs, stopped in front of Sharon's door and peeked in on her. It felt strangely as if they were a married couple checking on their kids. The thought made Holly chuckle, and she quickly closed the door so Sharon wouldn't hear her.
What is it?
Leo asked.
Nothing.
It had been a completely crazy thought, especially since they hadn't talked about the future at all. She definitely needed to get some sleep, too. But first, she wanted to hold Leo and maybe give her a head rub until she fell asleep. Chapter 19. After spending every minute of the past 2 days with Leo, it felt weird to leave her behind on Sunday, but Holly's mother would have killed her if she hadn't shown up for dinner with the family. None of them had missed a Sunday since their father had died. She had pondered asking her mother if she could bring 2 guests, No one would have batted an eye, since they often had friends join them, but Sharon didn't feel up to the lively family setting, and Leo didn't want to leave her mother. When Holly saw what was for dinner, she was glad she had come. Zack barely waited until everyone was sitting at the table before he pounced on the ham balls. He gobbled one down almost straight from the pan.
"Oh, shit, that's hot,"
he mumbled around a mouthful, but still reached for a second.
"Serves you right,"
their mother said.
"Let them cool down a little."
Holly heaped scalloped potatoes on her plate and took the bowl of carrots her sister-in-law handed her.
"How are Sharon and Leontine doing?"
her mother asked from the head of the table. "They're hanging in there, but tomorrow's going to be tough." Her mother stared right through the bowls on the table, as if remembering a day 5 years in the past.
"Once the funeral is over, it's going to get better. At least it's sinking in, and then you can really start to grieve. We're all going to be there to show our support, right?"
Zack and Ethan and their wives nodded.
"It's nice of you to keep looking after Sharon,"
Lisa said to Holly, who paused with her fork halfway to her mouth. Damn. She hadn't told her family about her and Leo yet, so apparently her sister-in-law now assumed she was over at the Blakes because she'd been Gil's nurse. Holly hesitated. Should she really tell them now, or would it be better to wait?
Wait for what? For the funeral to be over, or for either of you to fuck up and ruin what you have?
She put her fork down.
You can't keep thinking like that.
If she wanted their relationship to work, she had to believe in it, starting right now.
"I'm not over there as a nurse,"
she said loudly so she would be heard over the background noise of conversation, cutlery on plates, and Noah pretending the carrot on his fork was a tractor.
"Leo and I, we're together, as in a couple."
Zack took another handball and grinned at her.
"Does that mean we get to fly on her private jet and stay in some Caribbean island for your wedding?"
"She doesn't own a private jet,"
Holly said, choosing to ignore the other part of his question.
"Oh, honey."
Her mother jumped up, hurried to Holly's end of the table, and hugged her.
"That's wonderful news."
Holly sank into her mother's warm embrace, aware how lucky she was to have a family who took this as good news.
"Thank you. And thanks for talking me into giving the long-distance thing a chance."
Her nieces and nephews rushed her for a hug, too, even though most of them were too young to really understand what was going on. But Holly was happy to accept their hugs anyway. She ignored the fact that some of their hands were sticky from the brown sugar glaze on the ham balls.
"I thought you dumped her,"
Ethan said when everyone had settled back down. Holly stared at him. How the heck did he know that? Sometimes the very effective Fair Oaks rumor mill amazed her.
"Who said I did?"
"Leo."
"Leo?"
Holly echoed. "When was that?"
"Thursday, I think. She was crying into her beer at Johnny's."
Holly's stomach plummeted.
"Crying?"
"Not literally, more like sulking."
Ethan shrugged.
"But she said it wasn't because..."
He flicked his gaze to the other members of the family.
"Because of you being, unique. She said that wasn't a problem for her. Cool, hmm?"
Their mother frowned.
"What's that supposed to mean? Of course your sister is unique. Why would that be a problem for Leontine?"
Holly glared at her brother. Great. Now he had gotten her into trouble. Maybe she finally needed to have that conversation with her mother.
"There is no problem, Mom. I'll explain it later."
Coming out to her entire family in one big swoop was a bit much for her, especially with the kids right there listening in. She spent the rest of dinner picking at her food. Normally, she loved ham balls as much as everyone else in her family, but suddenly every bite sat in her stomach like lumps of chalk and tasted about the same. Her mother eyed her the entire time but didn't say anything until Zack, Ethan, and their families had said their goodbyes. Holly rinsed the last of the dishes while her mother packed leftovers for her to take to Sharon and Leo.
"So,"
her mother said as she clicked the last container shut,
"what was Ethan talking about earlier?"
Holly closed the dishwasher, leaned against it, and wiped her damp palms on her shorts. Why was this so hard? She wasn't a teenager anymore, and even if she were, her mother would hardly kick her out of the house for not sleeping with someone. The thought made her giggle, almost hysterically. Her mother eyed her.
"It's nothing bad, is it?"
"No, it's not," she said firmly. "It's just something about me that I want you to know." Her mom steered her over to the breakfast nook and had her take a seat.
"What is it? Is this the secret that you never talked about? And don't bother saying you're not keeping secrets. I know there's something you keep to yourself."
"It's not exactly a secret, but... yeah. I'm not ashamed of it, it's just unusual and hard to understand."
Holly gripped the small table between them with both hands and looked her mother in the eyes.
"Mom, I'm asexual."
Somehow it didn't have the same oomph as "Mom, I'm gay," she thought wryly, and it didn't get the same reaction. Her mother furrowed her brow until she looked like one of the Bassets she treated.
"What do you mean?"
Holly took a deep breath.
"It means that I'm not attracted to people. Not sexually, at least."
"Not attracted to people?"
Her mother's eyes widened.
"You don't expect me to believe that you're one of the people they showed on TV, the ones who are attracted to their rubber plants or something?"
"What?"
A startled laugh escaped her.
"No, Mom, that's not what it means. I'm not attracted to anyone or anything. I never have been."
But, I don't understand. You've been with Dana."
"Yes, but..."
Holly cleared her throat. Talking about this with her mother was awkward.
"I never experienced a strong desire to sleep with her."
Her mother nibbled her lip.
"Have you seen a doctor? Maybe there's something wrong with your hormones."
Holly sighed. She should have expected a medical explanation from her mother, the vet.
"No, Mom, my hormones are fine."
"And you're sure it wasn't just Dana who couldn't, who wasn't right for you?"
Holly shook her head.
"I've been with other people, and it was the same. It's not them, it's me. This is my sexual orientation, just like being straight is yours."
The lines on her mother's forehead deepened.
"I thought you were a lesbian?"
"I am," Holly said. "At least, I still identify that way. Being a lesbian isn't only about sex. It's also about who you fall in love with, about who you want to date and kiss and build a life with. I think Leo is absolutely beautiful. I could stare at her forever, and I love holding her and kissing her. But that doesn't make me want to, get horizontal with her."
"Then it's more like a friendship?"
"No, Mom. What Leo and I have isn't platonic. There's so much more to a relationship that makes it different from a friendship, not only sex. Just because I'm not eager to sleep with her doesn't mean that I don't love her."
She pressed both hands to her mouth. Had she really just said that, and had she meant it? She breathed in and out deeply.
"Yes,"
she admitted to herself. They had only been together for a very short time, but that didn't stop the feelings from being there, or from being real. A careful smile replaced her mother's frown.
"You do?"
Her heart thudded in her throat, so Holly couldn't speak. She just nodded.
"Does Leontine know?"
her mother asked. Holly shook her head.
"I only now admitted it to myself."
"That you're, what did you call it, asexual?"
"No, I've known that for years. I just wasn't ready to tell you. I meant that I only now admitted to myself that I love her. But she does know that I'm asexual."
"So that was what your brother was hinting at?"
her mother asked.
"That she doesn't mind you not wanting to sleep with her?"
Holly nodded while her mind was busy repeating that last phrase. Not wanting to sleep with her. That wasn't exactly what being asexual meant, although it did boil down to this for most aces.
but it would probably overwhelm her mother if she tried to explain the finer nuances of sexual attraction right now. Her mother let out a deep sigh.
If you feel this is the way you are, then I'll accept it. It just makes me a bit sad to think that you're missing out on such a wonderful aspect of a relationship. Your father and I...
Holly slapped her hands over her ears.
La 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 la, I really don't want to hear about this!
Her mother laughed.
Okay, okay, no details. But it's still something wonderful that I would have wanted for you.
Wonderful by your standards, Holly said. Do you ever feel like you're missing out by not eating broccoli?
Her mom wrinkled her nose and shook herself as if smelling something foul. Why would I? You know I hate broccoli.
See? It's not that I hate sex, but I wouldn't seek it out. And I certainly don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
She made eye contact.
Please don't judge me by your standards or think my relationship is any less normal or important. Her mother stared down at her folded hands on the table, then back up. Finally, she nodded once.
You're right. I don't understand it. But I accept it.
That was it. She had agonized for years over whether and how to tell her mother, fearing she might not understand, and now her mother just accepted it? Holly struggled to speak through the lump in her throat.
When was the last time I told you how much I love and appreciate you?
The laugh lines around her mother's mouth deepened and her eyes shone.
Earlier, when you came in and smelled the ham balls.
They laughed together. Then her mother sobered.
I just want you to be happy. By your standards, not mine.
With tears in her eyes, Holly got up and rounded the table for another hug.
I'm getting there,
she whispered into her mom's shoulder. Leo sat in the front pew of the church, next to her mother. When the organist began to play Pachelbel's Canon in D, her mother's silent tears turned into all-out sobs. Leo wrapped one arm around her and bowed her head. If only she had picked another piece of music. But maybe it wasn't the music that had made her mother cry. Maybe it was that her father had played the organ in this very church every Sunday for more than 30 years. Finally, the organ faded away, and the minister began his homily. The words rushed by Leo without her grasping their meaning. All she could do was stare at the casket at the end of the central aisle. The mahogany shone in the sunlight streaming through the stained glass windows. Her father lay on the white satin in the starched shirt and tie he had always worn to church. Part of her still couldn't believe that this was him, that she would never again be able to talk to him. Now, in death, he looked softer, more approachable than he had when he had been alive. Leo hoped that meant he had made peace with his life before he had died. The minister started to read from the Bible. When he was done, it would be her turn. She shifted on the pew. Why did they have to be so hard? She resisted the urge to bounce her knee up and down while she waited for her turn to speak. Her hand repeatedly slid to the folded piece of paper in the chest pocket of her blazer, just to make sure it was still there. Finally, the minister wrapped up his reading.
Leontine, Gilbert's daughter, has some words she would like to share with us.
Suddenly, Leo wanted nothing more than to keep sitting on the uncomfortable pew. She squeezed her mother's arm, got up, and walked over to the lectern to the right of the altar. She took out her notes, slowly unfolded them, and smoothed out the pages before laying her speech on the lectern. The microphone was a little too low, so she reached out and adjusted it to her height. She must have stood in front of a microphone a few thousand times during her career, but never had her fingers been this unsteady. Slowly, she looked up and out over the casket at the crowd of black-clad people. The church was filled to capacity. A few people even stood at the back of the church because every seat was taken. Everyone in town had known her father, and now they were all staring at her, waiting for what she would have to say. She searched out Holly's face in the sea of people. There she was, sitting with her family. Last night, during the visitation at the funeral home, Holly had been by her side, helping her through it all. And when Holly now gave her an encouraging nod, Leo nodded back. She could do this. Her gaze zeroed in on the slightly wrinkled notes. She had labored over them all day yesterday, but they hadn't gotten any better. They sounded more like the introduction of a keynote speaker at a conference than a eulogy for her father. Holly made eye contact and mimed crumpling up her notes and tossing them aside. She mouthed something, and Leo could guess what it was. "Speak from the heart," Holly had told her. She's right. Anything was better than this impersonal speech. After she had finally found the courage to talk, to really talk to her father that last night, this felt like a step back. She folded the pages and put them back into her pocket. Holly smiled at her, thawing that frozen feeling that had overcome Leo. She leaned into the microphone and did what she had done with Odd One Out. She just let everything pour out.
"I had a speech prepared, but a very wise woman told me to speak from the heart, so I think I'll try that instead."
An approving murmur went through the audience. Well, they didn't know yet what she was about to say.
"First, thank you all for being here today. I think it would have made my father proud to see how many people came to honor him. For the last 2 days, I tried to find the right words to do the same, to honor him with this eulogy. After all, that's what giving a eulogy is all about, talking about the traits of the deceased that you admired and sharing some happy memories, right?"
She let her gaze sweep over the pews. Several people in the front rows nodded.
"Right. And I wish I could stand here and do that. But I feel like I hardly knew him at all."
Someone in the back of the church cleared their throat. Leo clutched the sides of the lectern with both hands and continued.
"You see, my father and I hadn't talked in 14 years. Even when I went home for my grandmother's funeral, we sat next to each other in this very pew."
She nodded toward where her mother sat.
"Like we were complete strangers. In many ways, that's what we were. We never understood each other, even before my father had the second stroke and could hardly talk anymore."
She kept her gaze on Holly while she spoke, without glancing toward her mother. If she saw a look of disapproval on her mother's face, she wouldn't be able to finish this, and she needed to.
"Truth be told, I didn't try very hard. I thought I already knew how every conversation with him would end, with us going our separate ways in anger. So while I've been home for 4 weeks, I didn't spend much of that time with him, and he seemed to prefer it that way."
It felt strange to stand up here and say that, almost as if she were talking about someone else. Her face and mouth were so stiff that she could hardly form the words.
"It wasn't until the night before he died that we finally talked, and I started to remember all the good things about him that I had forgotten. His integrity and strong work ethic, his sharp mind and his tenacity. If he made a promise, he always followed through, no matter what. And he expected the same of others. He taught me the value of hard work and to stand up for what I believe in, even if he didn't always like my beliefs. I discovered that we had more in common than I had thought. Not just our passion for music, but the way we dealt with problems. By avoiding them."
She tried a smile, but her lips didn't cooperate.
"We avoided talking for 14 years. We almost waited too long. I nearly missed my last chance to talk to him. I would have never known a lot of his attitudes toward me had changed over the years."
Her eyes burned, so she reached up to wipe across them with her thumb and forefinger. She stared at the tears on her fingertips. God, this was hard.
Don't make the same mistake. Don't leave too much unsaid. Tell the people in your life how much they mean to you before they're gone.
More words wanted to come, but they all tangled up somewhere between her chest and her mouth, so she finally gave up and stepped down from the podium. On the way back to her seat, she touched her fingers to her father's casket. The smooth mahogany beneath her fingertips grounded her a little. She took several deep breaths and slid back into the pew without glancing at anyone. What would her mother say? Airing their dirty family laundry in front of half the town certainly wasn't what she'd had in mind when she had asked Leo to deliver the eulogy. A handkerchief appeared in her line of vision. Leo took it and blew her nose before reluctantly turning her head. Her mother was smiling at her, even with tears in her eyes. Smiling. Leo stared. Thank you, her mother whispered and took Leo's hand.
But that wasn't exactly what he would have wanted me to...
Her mother squeezed her hand, interrupting her.
Sometimes it's not about what you want. It's about what you need. He needed to hear that years ago. All three of us did. And maybe some of them.
She tilted her head toward the people in the pews behind them.
Did too.
The opening notes of the organ amplified around them, and everyone stood to sing a hymn. Leo didn't let go of her mother's hand as she rose too. The rest of the service passed in a blur. Before Leo knew it, they were following behind the hearse to the cemetery. Again, she barely heard a word of the minister's prayer. The sun beat down from a cloudless blue sky. Leo stood next to the open grave, which was surrounded by countless wreaths and flower arrangements. Ashley had picked lilies for the casket spray, she realized only now. The minister nodded at them to come forward. Her mother's hand trembled as she placed a rose on the closed casket, but Leo's was strangely steady. What she had said in the church had been her farewell to her father, not this flower. One of her father's colleagues played a mournful melody on the violin as the casket was lowered into the ground. When the minister finished with ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and dropped a handful of earth onto the top of the casket, her mother clutched Leo's arm painfully tight, and Leo gently rubbed her hand. When the last notes faded away and the violinist lowered his instrument, a very familiar sound interrupted the sudden silence. The click of a camera shutter. Leo looked up. Two paparazzi stood at the edge of the cemetery, half hidden behind a stand of trees. Another had stalked closer, clad in black so he would fit in with the mourners. Several black SUVs with dark-tinted windows were parked along the gate. As the press vultures continued to snap picture after picture, Leo clenched her hands into fists. For the first time, she really understood how helpless her father must have felt after his stroke. God, she had been a fool to reject Saul's offer to send PR people and security guards for the funeral. She hadn't wanted the pack of babysitters that guided and guarded her career to intrude into her life in Fair Oaks, and she had assumed she wouldn't need them. So far, the press either hadn't found her or they had something more interesting to report. She should have known they would want to cash in on pictures of a mourning Jenna Blake.
Oh my God, her mother gasped. What are they doing? They're taking photos here?
Leo gritted her teeth.
Not much is sacred for them.
Instead of dispersing, now that the funeral was over, the townspeople crowded around Leo and her mother, shielding her from the paparazzi. The rapid-fire click-click-click of cameras ended abruptly as a very determined Holly, followed by her brothers, Travis, Jenny, Ash, Chris, and several others, marched toward them. Leo's eyes stung with tears. She had expected the people of Fair Oaks to rat her out to the press the day of her arrival in town, but not only had they not given her away, now they were closing ranks and standing up to protect her. Hidden behind her circle of human shields, she couldn't see what was going on at the other side of the cemetery, but a minute later, the black SUVs pulled away and sped down the street as if the devil were chasing them. Holly pushed through the crowd to get to Leo. Her blue eyes were lit up with righteous fury, but then gentled when they turned onto Leo.
"You okay?"
Leo could only nod.
"Don't worry."
Zack gave her a pat on the shoulder.
"They won't be back."
"I know."
Leo sighed.
"Why would they? They've already got the shots they were after."
"No, they didn't."
Grinning broadly, Zack held up an SD card. Next to him, Travis presented two more. Leo gaped at them.
"How did you..."
"You don't want to know."
Zack straightened his tie, which had become askew.
"You didn't hit them, did you?"
Not that they didn't deserve it, but she didn't need headlines such as "Violence at Superstar's Dad's Funeral."
"No,"
Holly said quickly.
"It was Sasha who got them to hand over the SD cards."
"Sasha?"
Leo blinked over at Holly's friend.
"Well,"
Sasha said,
"I told them I'm a police officer and that if they weren't gone within 3 seconds, without the SD cards, they'd get to enjoy the hospitality of our local jail for a week while I came up with some creative charges and lost the paperwork a few times."
Leo stared at her.
"You bake scones for a living."
"Fantastic scones, but still." Sasha smiled and shrugged.
"But they don't know that."
With a shaking hand, Leo pocketed the 3 SD cards. Maybe without knowing it, Sasha had found the only thing that could stop the paparazzi, the threat of being stuck in some backwoods county jail while their deadlines were ticking away and other paparazzi were out there making boatloads of money on celebrity photos.
"Thank you,"
she got out, her voice rough. It wouldn't keep the paparazzi away for good, she knew that from experience. But it meant the world to her that the townspeople had stood up for her, and maybe it would make the press vultures more careful about where they took photos. Holly put a hand on her shoulder.
"Come on, let's get back to the church. The lunch they prepared for us should be about ready."
Still surrounded by half the population of Fair Oaks, Leo and her mother made their way back to the car. Apparently she hadn't just misjudged her parents. She had also misjudged the entire town. Chapter 20.
"What is this?"
Leo held up the world's ugliest bow tie pinched between her thumb and index finger. Her mother looked up at the pile of things she was going through. A laugh exploded from her, a sound that had been rare since her husband had died 2 weeks ago.
"That's the bow tie your father wore on our first date. I didn't know he kept it."
Leo eyed the green dotted thing.
"It's a miracle you went out with him a second time. Wow. To think that my very existence was almost thwarted by a bow tie."
"Thank God it wasn't."
Holly leaned across the to-be-discarded box and gave Leo a gentle kiss. Leo hummed against her lips. The open affection Holly showed her was like a constant ray of sunshine that lit up her days.
"So,"
Leo said when Holly had turned back toward her stack,
"where does it go?"
She dangled the bow tie over the box of things to be thrown away.
"Don't you dare!"
Her mother tapped the box to her right.
"It's a keeper."
Leo groaned playfully and reached into the drawer to continue going through her father's things. Maybe because most of his possessions had to do with music, notes kept swirling through her mind, coming together to form snatches of a melody. Before she could decide whether she was ready to listen or should chase it away with a shake of her head, her cell phone rang, drowning out the melody in her mind. She pulled it out of her pocket and glanced at the display. It was her manager. She had wondered when he would call, and what she would say once he did.
"Sorry."
She looked from her mother to Holly.
"I have to take it. It's Saul."
"Go ahead," her mother said with a smile. "I'll use the distraction to make sure the bow tie doesn't end up in the wrong box."
Leo chuckled, handed over the bow tie, and accepted the call.
Hi, Saul. Hi, Jenna, how are you doing?
How strange. For a moment, she hadn't realized he was talking to her.